For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jay Shelbrack. I came from Madison, Wisconsin. My wife and family moved here to be a part of this awesome group.
Amen.
And we truly feel honored to be a part of this group.
Amen.
It is amazing what being surrounded by people who love God will do for your spirit.
That's right.
So I'm excited to be here. Chris asked me to share what's been on my heart.
Come on.
Are you ready for this?
Oh, that's scary. Oh, that's scary. Come on.
It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. I do have exciting news, though.
Amen.
Especially for Joe Chepeta.
Come on.
The DVD Nacho Libre came out this week.
Oh, that is awesome.
That's why we pray for Joe. Okay, James chapter 1. Let's go move on from there. James chapter 1. The title of my lesson is Polluted by the World. You know, in the last half year, we've run into financial difficulties. Now, I don't know if you can relate with that.
Yeah.
Moving here and all that, and I know a lot of you have moved here. Have you had financial difficulties? And this is what promoted this lesson. James chapter 1, starting verse 27. It says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Okay, first of all, we can understand the first part, you know, take care of orphans and widows, and we have people who've done that. Terry and Deb Engel have done that. They have adopted two kids, and his mother's living with them, and she's certainly a widow. We can understand that because they can't really give back to us, right?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
But then you got the second part here. To keep ourselves from being polluted by the world.
There you go.
And that's our battle. It's not our battle today or this week. It's till the day you die. It's a challenge because we live in this world. We can't just escape this. You can't be a monk and share your faith. We're in it.
Right.
And we got to deal with it.
That's right.
Now, if you're like me, I need things spelled out to me very simply because I'm kind of simple-minded.
No.
So I'm going to make this easy. First of all, we need to, number one, define what that means. And number two, how do you do it? Okay, first of all, he talked about pure religion. You know, he talked about pure, and then he talked about polluted. There's an opposite there, okay? That we can become polluted by the world. You know, imagine you went into a grocery store and you thought, you know, I'm going to buy some bottled water. I'm thirsty. Be awesome. And there's a sign above that and says, 90% pure, 10% polluted. Okay? I don't think you'd buy that. Hopefully not. You know, you see little things floating around in there. Would not be good. And yet that's what we do with our spiritual walk.
Come on.
Okay? We 85, 90, we're pure to a certain level. But then we give in to the sins of the world and we can rationalize it. We can excuse it. You know, the analogy of, you know, you take an aquarium and you drop a little bit of dye in there, you drop one little drop a day, and in 7 days, you know, you still may not notice it, but you take a new aquarium and you put next to it, and you can see the difference, okay?
Yeah.
And the reason is, until we compare it, we don't get it. Now, our problem as disciples is we tend to compare ourselves to the world. Okay. We do that, and we can feel pretty good about ourselves. I'm not a Jeffrey Dahmer. I don't murder people. I don't steal. I don't rape. I don't do all these things. But then you compare yourself to Jesus, and it gets ugly. Let's open our Bibles to 1 John and see exactly what he means by this pollution thing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John, that's right before 2 John. Help you guys out a little. I'm trying, bro. I'm trying. Chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. Okay, you look at this passage and really he defines it. You got either you're living by the world, you love the world, or you're doing the will of God. Okay, and he kind of goes down the list here. And he shows us what it is. He defines it. He says the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does. Okay, let's look at that.
Come on.
The flip side, of course, is doing God's will. Obedience, lordship. Jesus is Lord. Remember that?
Yeah.
Obey. Or love the world. Which defines you? 85% pure? 90? 100? Where are you at? And of course, we realize that at baptism, we get purified. Okay? We're cleansed.
Yeah.
Amen. But the world is going to try to suck us back in. That's the battle. Okay, first of all, do you love anything in the world? Do you love money? Okay, we're going to dig a little deeper, find out exactly how you know. Do you love power? Do you love shopping? Okay, now we're hitting the, you know, we're nailing some things here.
Come on.
Do you love titles? Do you love football? Okay, now the Bears are doing pretty good here. Okay, it's easy not to love the Bears when they're in the last 10 years. Okay, but now they're doing awesome. 20 years, they're doing awesome. Okay, is that tug on your heart?
Come on.
That Satan can use. Anytime he wants to pull you down, does he pull on that string and he's got you nailed, or have you cut that string? He goes on, he says, do you crave certain things? Do you crave food? Huh? Sometimes you're hungry, right? But sometimes we don't need to eat. Do we crave coffee, sleep? What do we crave? And then he goes on, he says, lust of the eyes. It's not just like sexual sin, pornography, and stuff like that. We can lust after houses. We can lust after cars. Somebody stare you. There's that strong, I want this thing. I love this thing. And it can control us.
Yeah.
Do we boast? Do we boast about our achievements, our accomplishments, about our good looks, about our bills? What do we boast about? I struggle with all those things, man. Okay. Why is this wrong?
Come on.
Why is this wrong? Because it destroys your relationship with God. All right? When you begin to love things more than you do love God, it affects the relationship. You know, if I told Barb, honey, I love you, but I love my TV, my stereo system, my car more than you, she'd have a problem with that, hopefully.
Yep, I think she would.
She would. If you ask, I'll bet you she said she would have a problem with that. The other thing is it gets our focus off of doing God's will,
yep,
off of our purpose.
Yep.
You know, in fact, I was talking to Chris Williams a week ago, and he was sharing about how when he first moved here, how hard it was to keep focused because of all the financial things. Now, can you relate with me with that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's what happens. Satan will pull you out of the battle when you have given your heart over to these things. Now, let me make this painfully clear.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready to go here?
Come on.
Yeah.
America is an exceedingly prosperous country. But what's one of our biggest problems? I would say the main problem is we're in debt. $1 trillion debts. For a country that has so much, why are we in debt? Because we love to buy things. We love to own things. It consumes us. Debt. You know what our number one health problem is? Obesity. Obesity. It's pretty sad. They say one in every 5 children today are obese. That is our future. It's getting kind of quiet in here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Come on, bro.
You know, and obesity creates all sorts of problems. You know, heart problems, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, all that stuff. Joint problems. You know, there's a lot of physical problems just from that. And then our medical costs are skyrocketing. Why? Because we're so consumed,
yep,
with self.
Come on.
You know, I heard in the news, this is going to blow you away. I heard in the news that they have come up with a new ambulance, okay, that will literally, it has hydraulics in it, that will literally pull a gurney in to the ambulance because they can't lift the people anymore. People are getting so heavy. That's sad. Hospital doors are getting wider. All right. Wheelchairs are getting wider. Beds are getting wider. Why? Because we're becoming a fat nation. Now here's the painfully obvious situation here. 90% of the rest of the world is either starving to death or at war. And our main problems are obesity and debt. There's something wrong with our polluted world.
Yeah.
You know, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, Paul says, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Am I giving you a good picture here?
Yeah.
You know, we can get sucked into that. You look at other nations in Africa. You know, you have genocide, people being slaughtered to death, tribal warfare, rape, malaria, AIDS, all sorts of stuff going on. And we're worried about paying for our house, our two cars, and our large screen TV. We've totally lost our focus. You know, we worry about these things. The rest of the world would love to have our problems. We're being polluted by the world. Our society tells us what we need. Our advertising just comes after us. What you need. And if you got kids, you know they're getting it. They're hearing it. They're coming up with every gadget possible known to man for kids to buy, to play with, to have. They got to have it. Peer pressure. And you can get sucked right into it.
That's right.
Boy, some of the toys they have, you know, some of these things I've never even heard of. iPods, TVs, you know, these gadgets. You know, there's this thing called a BlackBerry. Have you guys ever heard of that? They had a thing on 2020, I think it was 2020, where these people were having to seek counseling. Seek counseling because they were so addicted to these things. What is that? We're messed up, guys.
Yeah.
We are messed up. Pets, you know, they have, our country spends more on animals and pets. They have health insurance now for pets. Yes, we do. I know a woman who's paying $1,500 to have her 15, 16-year-old dog taken care of. Now, I love pets. I have a dog, okay? But if I have to pay $1,500, it ain't going there, okay? There's too many starving people that need help.
Yeah.
We're messed up. We're getting polluted. And in living in the United States, don't buy into the lie that you're not. Just assume you are and fight the battle. You know, one time, we went to my dad's for Christmas, okay? And one of my daughters, I'm not going to tell you which one, one of my daughters went to open up her present for Christmas, all right? And she stopped, she was fired up, and she stopped, and she looked up, and she said, "Is that it?" Oh, man. It was painful. I didn't know what to say. What did that communicate to me? It opened my eyes to what was going on. But that's reality. People expect more and more. There was this thing on Tickle Me Elmo a month or so ago. Two guys were fighting over one at a store, and one threatened to kill the other one. What is going on? Are you understanding where I'm going with this? All right, let's go on. Matthew chapter 13. Strange stuff. And no wonder the rest of the world thinks we're out there, you know? There's actually a book called The Ugly American out now. Matthew 13.
Come on, bro.
Verse 14. Right in the middle of the parable of the sower, Jesus speaking here, he says, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." You know, this is what's happening. We get calloused. We get hard-hearted. We don't hear the pain of the people. We become oblivious to the needs around us. And it's because we get choked out by the world. There are so many needs. If you jump down to verse 22, he's talking about the third soil. Look what he says. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, make it unfruitful. In the Mark version of this, it says, the worries of this world, the desire for other things, make it unfruitful. It's a slow choking. You can spiritually get choked out if you don't fight the battle. Look in Amos chapter 6. It goes Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. You guys are taking first principles, you need to know that stuff. Huh? Amos chapter 6. Are you spiritually getting choked out? Now you gotta realize Amos was written at a time of wealth in Israel. Thousands of years before this. Now see if you can relate with this passage. Amos chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Everybody there?
Yep.
Begins with an A. Amos. Okay. Woe to you who are complacent in Zion, and to you who feel secure among Samaria, you notable men of the foremost nation, to whom the people of Israel come. Go to Calneh and look at it, and go from there to Great Hamath, and go down to Gath and Philistia. Are those better off than your two kingdoms? Are they better off than your two kingdoms? Is your land larger than yours? You put off the day of evil and bring near a reign of terror. You lie on beds inlaid with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lambs and fattened calves. You strum away on your harps like David and improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowlful and use the finest lotions. But you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. Boy, does this sound like America today? Is our nation complacent? You know, I was thinking about this. This Katrina thing happened over a year ago. Is it done? Is it taken care of? No. Where's our heads at? We've moved on. We don't think about that anymore. You know, and then he goes on. You know, he talked about their wealth and their security. You know, America feels secure. He says, go look at these other nations. Are you better than they? We look at other nations. Yeah, we're better than them. That's where we put our pride and security in. And he says, you lie on beds inlaid with ivory. You know, we're wealthy. And he says, you lounge on your couches. You know, they had, couch potatoes back then.
Yeah.
This is us.
Yeah.
You have entertainment. You strum away on your harps, you drink, but you don't grieve over the ruin of Joseph. Here's the challenge. When's the last time we've grieved over what's going on around the world? When's the last time we've grieved for Chicago, for Brookfield, for wherever you're living? When's the last time you've grieved? Let's jump to James chapter 4. And now that I've got you thoroughly depressed, what do you do? That's point number two. What do we do about this? Major point, Jay. We're polluted. What's the point? James chapter 4, verse 1. Are you with me?
Come on.
All right. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Oh, this is good already. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures.
Yep.
You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? But He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture said God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. There's so much in this passage.
Oh, wow.
Well, let's back up. And I want you to understand something here. This whole answer, it's all about relationship. All right? Let's start off. He says, what causes fights, you know, between each other? Well, he tells us, from the desires that battle within us. We want something, we don't get it. Sounds like we're kids here.
Yeah.
We fight and quarrel over these things. I want this. Well, I want control. I want what I want. And then we pray about it. We throw the little bit, a tidbit of spirituality in there. We pray about it. And he says, you ask with wrong motives. What's your motives? Why are you asking that you can spend what you get on your pleasures? And it really comes down to a heart thing. Am I thinking about me or my wife? Am I thinking about me or the lost?
Yep.
Am I thinking about me or God? Then he says something very, very challenging. He says, you adulterous people. Wow. God looks at this like adultery. He says, don't you know? Friendship with the world is hatred towards God. Holy man. Is this kind of a gray area here? I don't think so. He lays it out. He lays this out. He says, it's adultery in my eyes. Why? Because there's another God here, and you're worshiping it. Friendship with the world is hatred towards God. Imagine if I said, Barb, hey, I want you to meet my new girlfriend. She's right here. Isn't she pretty? What would she say? That wouldn't be a good move. It wouldn't be very bright either. Yeah, and that's what we do to God. Here's my new love, God. Isn't it awesome? Isn't this awesome? And then he goes on, he says, God opposes the proud. Why is it prideful? Why is it prideful? Because what you're saying is, I don't need you, God. I need this. I need this. This is what all the advertisements are telling me. I need this, I need this, and I need that. And God says, you're just stinking prideful, and I'm opposed to it. I'm opposed. So what's the answer? Submit yourself then to God. Yeah, so it's like what we were talking about, lordship, earlier. You submit to God. You obey the Scriptures. You resist the devil. And now this is a daily battle, guys. We've got to resist the temptations, and he'll flee from us. And he says, you wash your hands. You repent. You confess. You do what you got to do, and you come near to God. Because I'm not going to have a relationship with you if you keep playing with sin. You come near to me, I will come near to you. He says, you purify your hearts, you double-minded. And that's what we become. We claim Christianity, we go through the motions, and yet we're still part of the world. Can somebody see something different in you? Do they notice that you're like Jesus or like the world? Very, very challenging. All right, I don't even know where I am in my notes here. Let's go to Matthew 6.
Good stuff, Jay.
Come on.
Matthew chapter 6. We still got an answer here. We got more to it. This is Jesus talking. Verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is an intense passage too. Now you back up here. In verse 19, he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. That sounds like a command to me. Don't do it. But wait a minute. We need a house. We need a place to stay. We need to live still in the world. We need money, don't we? Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, what does this mean then? I think what he's saying here is when it becomes a treasure, then you got a problem. When it becomes a treasure and you begin to love that thing, you treasure it more than God, then you got problems. You really do. And you got to understand what he's saying here. What happens when you begin to love these things? He explains it. He says, where moth and rust destroy. Things break down. That thing you bought that was brand new, that was awesome, it's going to die. Okay? And thieves break in and steal. People are so afraid of losing what they have that their joy is gone.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to people where when they have a lot of money and they've got a lot of properties or whatever, and they start losing it, the economy goes bad, man, they're anxious, they're frustrated, they're scared.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's their treasure. What do you treasure? What is in our heart? He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, it was really funny. A few years ago, there was a bunch of brothers getting together, and we were talking, and one brother said, hey, let's go share our faith. You know, and you know, some of the brothers, hey, man, let's do that. It's awesome. You know? But then you get one brother, he said, you know what, I'm not feeling good. I just, you know, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to skip it. Then all of a sudden somebody came in, walked in and said, hey, did you know the I don't know what game it was. The game's on. He jumped up. He said, you've got to be kidding. I didn't know it. And he's like, let's do it. Ooh. It showed where his heart was at. Very, very convicted. All of a sudden he realized it. He's like, man. All right. And he repented. Amen. Now, the next paragraph here is kind of weird. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, so on and so forth. Why is that in there? I mean, all of a sudden you got treasures in heaven, then he jumps down here, no one can serve two masters. Why is he talking about the eyes? What's the deal? Because I believe that you can tell where a person's heart is at by looking at their eyes. You can tell if they're fired up about life. If you have a walk with God, you're grateful. God has blessed us. You have salvation. You have a relationship with God. You have a relationship with the creator of the universe, the God that made the sun. You should be bouncing off walls. Instead, you're down. You're anxious. You're frustrated. You're impatient. You know, that's your life. You're getting polluted. Do you see what's going on there? And he says, how great is that darkness? But we get calloused. We get blinded to it. And he goes, and he says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one, love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You know, I look at this passage, I think, you know, really what he's bringing up here is a priority issue. When you love God, you're excited to do His will. You're excited to be with Him. When you don't, what happens is you begin to feel frustrated in your relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know, I could be doing this and say, I got to go to church. If I weren't a Christian, think of the money I could save. You know, all I do is give to people and they're just rude back. And we begin to despise being a Christian. Imagine somebody's married to you and they look at you that way. Oh, I got to put up with you again. Yeah, I got to spend time with you. I know I have to deny self. Spend time with Roger.
There is the thought.
But I'm going to be spiritual here. I'm going to deny self and give to this brother. You know, boy, doesn't Roger feel excited to be together, you know? And that's how we treat God.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go on and he tells you the answer here in verse 25. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, drink, what you'll wear. And then down verse 33, he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The answer, once again, you seek God with all your heart. You give it your heart.
Yep.
People in relationships can tell when you don't give them your heart. And God certainly can tell.
That's right.
I don't even know where I am again.
Okay.
Well, okay, let's go here. All right. Luke 18:18. You know, I don't even know when I started. I could keep going here. Luke 18:18.
We'll help you, bro.
Oh, amen. Luke 18:18. This passage kind of puts it all together.
Come on.
Tie it up.
Are you with me here?
You are.
Okay. A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's a good question. That's what I'd ask Jesus. I want to know. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I've kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wives or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life.
Amen.
Let's look at what's going on here. Guy, rich young ruler comes to him. What must I do to be saved? And Jesus says, you know, you need to do all these, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not steal, do not. He says, I've been doing all this. You lack one little thing. Sell everything you got, give to the poor, follow me. Not a minor thing. Now let's back up here. Jesus says something very interesting. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. Why does he say that? Why did he just kind of say, is that like a light, nice little trivia point? Oh, well, thanks for that, you know. Why does he say that? Because I believe Jesus knew that this guy thought he was a good guy. He's keeping all the commands. I mean, I'm sure the apostles were like, oh my stars, if he can't make it, how are we going to do it? I mean, hey, my background isn't so nice. But Jesus kind of lays it out. There's no one good except God.
Yeah.
Don't compare yourself to the world. You compare yourself to God. That's the standard of good.
Yeah.
And you cannot be good. And see, that's not our goal. Our goal isn't to be good here. Our goal is to love God.
Yeah.
When you love someone, you don't want to hurt them. You don't want to cause any pain. And so here you got a situation where the guy thinks he's doing great. And Jesus shows him where his heart is really at by calling him to give it all up. So everything given to the poor, follow me. And he couldn't do it. Why? Because he showed him what his God was. What his God truly was. And the apostles like, hey, we've left everything. And Jesus says, that's it. That's the standard. It's not a call to being totally righteous in every area. It's a call to total commitment. When my wife married me, believe this or not, she knew that I wasn't perfect.
What?
I know, it's hard to believe. She knew I wasn't perfect. But she knew I could be 100% committed.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. It's
yep.
about relationship.
Right.
Is this making sense?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Now, here's the challenge for us. He says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Our nation is wealthy. We are wealthy people. That's why this is such a crucial message.
Yep.
We are wealthy. Don't buy into the fact that you're poor or you don't have money or you don't have things. You do. We're more wealthy than 90% of the planet. And we can't buy into thinking that we're okay and that we're not polluted, because you can't live in this without being polluted. The battle is to stay pure. It's a daily battle. Luke 9:23, we're going to close there.
Good stuff, bro.
Amen. Can't go wrong with the scriptures. Luke 9:23. This is one you should all know. Maybe we should have everybody stand up, quote it. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Now, Jesus is kind of laying it out. You want to follow me? This is what it takes.
Yeah, that's right.
We want a relationship with God on our terms. Jesus says, no. This is the terms. You deny yourself. You can't be selfish and have a relationship with me. You can't live selfish as a standard. You need to deny yourself. Because otherwise, you'll hurt me and you'll hurt others. And follow me. You know, you can't just follow Jesus and not change and not repent. You can't walk with Jesus and continue to stay polluted. And we got to view it that way. You know, hey, I'm walking along, something happens, I start swearing, yelling, Jesus standing right there. You got to believe that. You got to see it. He's walking with us. He lays out the standard. He says, what good is it to gain the whole world and yet lose forfeit your very soul? It's not worth it. You know,
amen.
Satan will try to pull the strings on our hearts all the time. And we've got to cut those strings.
That's right.
Or else he will have a battle, win the battle.
Yes.
And we got to understand, this is a battle. I want you to walk out of here taking this message very serious.
Come on.
Amen.
Now, let's say you're Roger Parlour. How many people have you seen fall away in your time?
Many, 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 many,
many. Many, many. It's very hard to stay faithful. And the reason why is because you can get polluted by the world.
Yep, that's right.
The world will suck you back into it. You know, for me, when I moved to Madison, I realized something, that Madison is a very wealthy city. It's the capital, so you have a lot of politicians, you have a lot of lawyers. It has a university of over 50,000 students, so you have a lot of professors. And it's a beautiful city. You have lakes all over. And it's a smaller city. It's not congested. So, you know, 20 minutes and you're in the woods. It's like paradise. And I love being there. And we used to actually live on a farm, 80 acres.
Yeah.
I'd get up in the morning with my shotgun and go shoot something any morning I wanted. It was awesome, if I wanted to. I mean, if I wanted to. It was beautiful area. But I began to realize how I became more and more worldly.
Yep.
How these things were starting to tug on my heart. And how hard it was to fight the battle. And we were alone. So it was hard to bring ourselves out of it. I believe what God did in the last few years with the kingdom is he woke it up. I believe the church is becoming more and more worldly. When we would share our faith, we'd say, hey, come to the church. It's awesome. It'll help your marriage. It'll help your parenting skills. It'll rescue your kids. These people are great people. They love you. And what we were doing was we were elevating the church above God. And we became a social group. We did not fight the battle. We weren't. Our purpose wasn't to seek and save the lost. I mean, we would convert a person here or there. But it wasn't our lifestyle. It wasn't who we were. We became very worldly. And God had had enough. And he shook it up. And we need to come back to God. You know, we want our treasures here on earth. We do. And Jesus says to the rich young ruler, you know, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. The challenge for us is our faith. Do we believe that? Or do we want our treasures here? And God says, listen, I am your great reward.
Amen.
Not those things.
Yeah.
And yet, Satan uses it to pull us back in. Now, I'm going to throw out a challenge for you. I'm going to give you homework.
Amen.
What do you think of that?
Come on.
I want you to talk to two people. I want you to ask them who know you and ask them how they see worldliness in your character and your life.
Amen. Great.
And talk about it, pray about it, go after it. I want you to walk out of here with a plan to change. Because we're not going to win the world by being worldly.
Yep.
We're going to win the world by loving the world. And my prayer is that we'll take these things to heart, fight the battle, because we'll win with God. And we won't by being worldly.